Every Thursday, 1700 hours Pacific time, that's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex. Looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
Your body's filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not. Your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run. But your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Now do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
Listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Revolution. Radio!
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome to the perfect triangle. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And now,
Doc, I'm glad I finally got the vaccine. So now I'm immune, right?
Oh, no, you can still get it.
But do I still have to wear a mask?
Still do.
But what if I get, you know, harmed from this? Is the manufacturer of the vaccine liable?
Not one bit.
So why did I do this?
No idea. I'm just following orders.
Next!
If someone asks you that whether I should take the vaccine or not, or if you want to explain someone that why you should not take the vaccine and you just have 1 minute to do that, what do you say to them?
It is an experimental procedure that has no data on safety or efficacy. They are introducing brand new technologies never before unveiled on humanity. It's genetic modification, and it's also nanotechnology. The adverse events are astronomical right now for something that is on par with just the flu season. So there should never be that much risk taken for so little benefit.
I am a vaccine plus.
You may put it in my arm.
Well, I'm so happy you are here with me. I'm so happy you are here with me. Whenever I feel afraid, I close my eyes and pray, and I enter the invisible with you. Well, once upon a time, we were alone. Even in our minds, we were alone. Then we faced all our fears. We drowned in our own tears, and we entered the invisible again.
This world's a lonely place. We made it such a lonely place. This world's a lonely place. We made it such a lonely place. But it's not the only place. There is just one only place that's true.
Joint session of Congress, according to the intelligence community, terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland today. Not ISIS, not Al Qaeda, white supremacists.
Greetings, friends. I'm your host, Giuseppe Vaffangulo. Welcome to The Perfect Triangle, episode number 52. 1 year down. We'll see how many we go. The future is unyet written, or maybe it is. Who knows? But welcome. How'd you like the two for Tuesday? It's not Tuesday. It's two for Triangle. That's from my old radio job back in Milwaukee in the 80s when I was part of the morning team. That's funny. That's hard to believe. That's 40 years ago. Crazy. I don't feel old, but I guess I am. Not really. You're only as old as you act, believe, and live. So then I guess I'm immortal. All right. That two for triangle was Moby, his song, We Are All Made of Stars, and followed by my great friends, the Slambovian Circus of Dreams. I should bring them on the show. to interview them. They, they're so gifted. They live such an interesting life. They would make great guests. But that song was called The Invisible. The theme of the two is pretty obvious. We are all made of stars, and the invisible is the divine animates us all. And it hit me a couple weeks ago that I'm getting too caught up in the anger and fighting against this satanic malignancy that controls this world. And ultimately, you know, they could put a bullet in my head, blow up my house now. Who knows? Maybe Cyber Polygon will kick in while I'm doing the show. But none of that matters. What matters is how you live your life and how you connect with what animates you, your immortal soul, the spark of the divine. And so the last couple of weeks, I've really been focusing more on that. And that's going to be a continued theme from here on in. It's like, you know, we're fighting this good fight. We're losing. We're probably going to lose. But that's only the material world, the illusion. And so ultimately, as we fight for the divine, we will triumph. So with that being said, let me bring in my brother from another mother, David Scorpio. Scorpio, how are you? Whoa, you're muted, bro. Whoa.
Sorry, man. Good Lord. Operator error. Hey, man, I like the philosophical mood you're in, man. That's cool.
Yeah, I was getting too angry. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So great tunes, by the way, too. Really, really kind of thought-provoking and a little touching too.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm getting ready Tuesday. You've heard a mix of it to release the second song from my long delayed album. Doing all this alt media work has really put a damper on getting my album done. But people don't understand it. All the time it takes to, especially when you're a one man band, and we're chit chatting, waiting for Dr. Carrie Madej to arrive. I think she should be here any moment. And especially when you have to do everything yourself, or, you know, like when we do our shows, there's hours of prep and research, and, you know, it seems like we're off the cuff and we are speaking extemporaneously, but we speak from a knowledge and as professionals, not just making it up as we go along. And when it comes to music, the more, or art, as you're a painter, the more you do it, the more you understand what it takes to bring the end product to fruition. And so, but this Tuesday, the world premiere of the second song of my long delayed album is called Angel Mine. And you can watch the premiere live on YouTube or Facebook, or actually I'll run it through Twitch here as well. So you can just watch it here, and it celebrates my wife's 50th birthday, 50 spins around the Sol, the great giver of life, and also celebrates 25 years together. We met 25 years ago and been together ever since. So it's very, that's also making me philosophical, Scorpio, that when I met her, she was a young woman, and now she's 50, and so it's crazy. A lot of life.
Well, it's still young, man, you know?
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. It is young. And I mean, as long as you connect with your soul and you're as young as you feel or act, right? I mean, the interesting thing now, me, I'll be 62 next month, is that my spirit still feels the same as I did when I was, you know, 5 years old, 10 years old. I have vivid recollections of all those memories, but yet now the present is tempered with so much wisdom. You know, you just, if you live life correctly, you gain wisdom. And, you know, the visceral responses as a young man, I would never make those choices or actions now, but I learned from them. And sadly, some people never learn. And I think that's what we're faced with, this lunacy of all these people easily described as sheeple lining up to get this injection, this deadly experimental injection. It's just insane.
The insanity never stops. And, you know, I was watching a clip of the NBC Nightly News, and they're saying that their Pfizer is developing a special vaccine for the Delta variant, because, you know, that's very dangerous. And it looks like your prediction is right from the beginning, Giuseppe. They're saying that the vaccines begin to lose efficacy after 6 months. Uh-oh.
Yeah. What a laugh, man. I mean, this is This is like watching people believe a children's book that's, you know, written for a 6-year-old or a 5-year-old, right? You remember, you know, when your parents would read you a book and you were so enthralled. And it's funny. I know I've seen this with my nieces and nephews and young children. Read it to me again. Read it to me again. And it's so, so epic and so believable to, and the young boy or girl has such a vivid imagination that they just want to go through it again and again. And that seems to me intentionally insulting that these people believe the quackery of Big Pharma and its biologic division. There, you know, you look at these shitheads like the mass baby murderer Paul Offit, who runs a hospital in Philadelphia, a children's hospital. So he's literally been responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands of newborns and young children and the maiming of, you know, how many more, maybe millions. Or another one that's an absolute psychopathic shithead is Peter Hotez, down at Baylor University, a PhD who's constantly claiming that the science is settled and he's developing new vaccines. And you've got all over the world, you've got these lowlifes who are propped up into positions they never should because they serve these Satanists. And it's just insane to me. And yet you've got the average goof, like I ran some of those clips, who you know, lining up in those young women who are toasting, we're vaccine sluts and all this. And they think it's humorous and they think they're being hip and cool. And how could you be such a weak mind to go along with all that? I just do not understand.
Well, Giuseppe, you know, that little clip you played of all the sheep, you know, marching off to be vaccinated. It really, you know, I guess one of the most surrealistic and bizarre things about this whole COVID experience we've been having over this last year is just how malleable human beings are, how willing they are to be led around simply like cattle and don't even question the reality around them. And I think, you know, if people don't start questioning their reality and who are the men behind the curtain, the human race is marching straight on into slavery. And there's no two ways about it. It's very clear what their intentions are. Seeing that these new vaccines are all almost ready. I mean, they're just cranking these babies out like in a few months, you know, no big deal. I mean, the Delta variant's supposedly only been around for a couple months and the vaccine for it's almost ready, man. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you caught I'm writing an email to Dr. Carey's associate, Danielle, to ask her if she's coming on and resending the StreamYard link. What the heck was I saying? Oh, I might even have it here in my things I've recently downloaded, or I bet you I bookmarked it. It came out. I saw it yesterday where they said that the Pfizer and all of them are essentially that were in development years before this so-called pandemic occurred, which we knew all along. I mean, it's obvious, but even the mainstream is now, you know, that's from a British newspaper. So, I mean, even the mainstream is now mentioning it. I'm not seeing it. I thought I bookmarked it, but.
Yeah, that's been my theory all along, is that they had this stuff cooked up a long time ago, probably a lot longer ago than just a year. This has been a plan in the making for at least a decade, probably two decades. And I think one thing that's going on now too, Giuseppe, is a sort of just a beta test to see where the weak links are in the control system and patching up those weak links and the people that are offering resistance. You know, I think that this is a sort of a delta test of this new system they want us to be under. And, you know, I do think one problem they're going to have, Giuseppe, is it doesn't seem like anyone cares about the Delta variant. If it even exists, now that people in the chat are saying now there's already the Lambda variant. So it's just going to go on and on as long as people believe it. But, you know, what happens when people no longer want to play along? They're going to have a real problem on their hands.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's clearly, as you've mentioned that for a while, and I completely agree with your observation, is that it's beginning to happen. They've reached their pinnacle of willing dupes. And so now our dear friend and brother, Maleficus Scott, lost his job in England because he refused to take the death jab. And, you know, we know so many other people who are facing that choice. And I have, Jim Fetzer, our associate and the legend, has his own wife is taking it against his advice and his children. And it's just insane, Scorpio, that these people place this trust in these criminal organizations. And as we've said before, and it's worth saying weekly, that everything you need to know in this material world, you can learn from watching The Godfather 1 and 2. And essentially, you know, the captain of captains, the capo di tutti capi, is the central banking Rothschild cabal. That's who sits at the head of the criminal table. But there are equally malevolent and violent criminal families, big agro with the insanity of Monsatan, big pharma, of course, which is becoming a bigger and bigger player, big war, big education, big chemical, and now big government, which is tragic that big government, you can go in like, Diane Feinstein or Nancy Pelosi or, living prolapsed rectum, Mitch McConnell, and go in with a net worth of six figures, maybe barely $1 million. And within a decade or two, you've got an eight figure net worth just because you served the, synagogue of Satan. It's just insane.
Yeah. You know, Diane Feinstein too, speaking of her, she's selling off a $42 million estate at Lake Tahoe. Got to wonder how she came up with that kind of cash, being a public servant.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, Giuseppe, I think one other thing that's at play here is, you know, this law of unintended consequences. I do think they've abused people's trust so badly that if things are starting to kind of unravel a little bit. I'm just hearing more and more people questioning, you know, just so-called normies, just people that don't have any clue what's going on, questioning taking the vaccine. You know, I was just talking to this girl that works at the pharmacy, you know, she's all masked up and worried about COVID. And, you know, she asked me, are you going to take the vaccine? I said, look, honey, there's no way in the world I will ever take that shot. It's designed to kill people and make people sick. And she goes, oh, and, you know, and then she was like, well, I don't think I want to take it either. You know, it just doesn't, something about it doesn't seem right. So they push the limits of people's trust so far. I think it's going to be hard to regain that trust. At least I hope so, Giuseppe.
Yes, exactly. I just found out that Dr. Carrie Medej had an appointment of some form beforehand, and she may be caught in traffic, and her associate Danielle is reaching out to her and will let me know as soon as I hear anything. So we will just, as they say, chit-chat. And so, yeah.
Well, it's time for a jazz improv, baby.
Jazz hands. That was a funny meme a decade or so ago where, you know, the people were mocking jazz hands because people would do that and they thought they were being hip and all that. It's pretty funny.
Well, it was like, in Spinal Tap when they're at the event, it's a puppet show in Spinal Tap, but it was supposed to read Spinal Tap and Puppet Show. And that's when they decided to do the jazz improv, baby.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But getting back to your point. Yeah. Yeah. That was, you know, what's funny is, people may or may not know that one of the few, strange big breaks I ever caught in my life was when I was still, a 20-year-old journalism student I through a strange circumstance, someday I'll tell the whole story. It's really an interesting story. I became the rock critic for the largest morning daily, the Milwaukee Sentinel, in the state of Wisconsin in 1980. I mean, that would never happen today, but that was a big deal because there was no internet and there were only two papers in the city of 1.3 million. And I went to part-time as a student and worked full-time. It was really cool. Learned so much. You learn so much more from doing journalism than studying it, I can tell you that much. And that I think that's true of anything. But what was funny is after I had my run, I did it for about 4 years, and I went on to try and start a business that failed magnificently. It was a great idea, but unfortunately, trusting people who will stab you in the back is never a good idea, especially when they're your investors. And so, right around the time Spinal Tap came out, I was burned out after being the rock critic for 4 years and then trying to get this entrepreneurial effort off the ground. And I went to see the movie with my then girlfriend, and she's laughing uproariously. And I'm like, there's nothing. That is exactly, because I would have been backstage and met all the big superstars of music of that era and I was like, there's nothing outrageous about that. That's exactly true. And it took me a couple of years to get over my burnout to realize how funny that was, because when I saw it the first time, it was so true to what I had just experienced in my life that it wasn't really satire. It was essentially just parroting what actually goes on. So.
Yeah, I believe you, man. That's it was well done. And I love the ego where the puppet show came before Spinal Tap. Can't have that, man. It's I just thought that was one of the funniest moments. Supposed to be Spinal Tap and puppet show.
Right. Oh yeah. And then we both had bands that had decent success independently, and all those moments of the equipment malfunctioning, the power not working, even if you tested everything during your sound check, then all of a sudden you go to play and nothing's working. And it always happens, your cord dies. So suddenly you're playing your guitar and nobody can hear it, or your mic cord shorts out. And I remember in my case, we used to play with some of the best money we ever made was going to play these big parties, gatherings at state parks here in the DC area. And, they didn't have really, we had power conditioners, but sometimes you'd be playing and all of a sudden I'd get a shock from the microphone if my lips touched it, because there was a ground missing somewhere. So that's that. I learned that lesson the hard way, to get one of those spongy things on top, because man, I got shocked to the point where I was like, whoa, my first shock therapy treatment. It was really intense. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, that's happened to me too. I know exactly what you mean. Of course, you have to pretend like nothing happened.
Right.
Smiling, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. You can pretty much recover from anything in the crowd. The audience won't know unless the drummer screws up. Then that everything falls apart if your drummer messes up. That's
that's so true. And it's often overlooked that, the drummer is in some ways the most important member of the group. Cause if you don't have a good drummer, you don't have shit. Really don't.
Yeah. That's funny that, one of the running jokes in Spinal Tap was that the drummers kept getting killed by weird things. So yeah. And I mean, any band of any worth will tell you that they covet their drummer if the drummer's rock solid like a living metronome. They Even look at somebody like the Foo Fighters. I used to really admire them, but now I think they're a bunch of weasels and cowards for their stance supporting vaccinations and all that. But the second most important guy in that band is that drummer. And everybody talks about the Rolling Stones, but if they didn't have Charlie Watt, they would not be the Rolling Stones. And the Who was never the same when Keith Moon's insanity killed himself. So yeah, it's really something. But
yeah, man, the drummer is like the foundation of the whole thing. If everything's built on top of that, and it's sort of over, the drummer's often overlooked, but that's the engine that runs the whole show, man. If you don't have that, you're screwed. It's amazing how everything's built upon that one foundation, man.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Because I wanted to shift gears just for a minute, but go ahead, man.
Oh, well, I'll respond. There's a fella named Neil Roberts out of watching us on Facebook, and he said Ringo was one of the greatest drummers ever, and he never gets his dues. And everybody wonders how he has his unique timing, and he's always just a microsecond ahead or behind, but he's in the pocket all the time, as they say. And it's because he's left-handed, but he plays a right-handed kit. So the as a true lefty, that's when I mess around with drums, it's the same thing, because you're it's not set up for you. So you're, even if you have really good timing and good rhythm, you will always have your unique feel, and that's really what made Ringo Starr who he was. So
yeah, I think one of the reasons too that Ringo doesn't get a lot of accolades is that he was a minimalist in his approach. But sometimes minimalism is beautiful.
Oh yeah,
ancient Japanese art is sort of a testament to that.
Right. And
being more complicated isn't always better. It just depends on your approach. But minimalism is quite an interesting concept.
Oh, minimalism. Is sorely lacking in this modern world. In fact, what I would say is we are living in the age of narcissism in excess. So,
good point. Yeah, absolutely. More is not always better. Absolutely. And Giuseppe, I wanted to ask you, since we're sort of just shooting the breeze here, I'm sure you've seen the new kind of information that's been coming out about the, graphene oxide supposedly in these witches brew they call a vaccine. What are your thoughts on I want to get that from Dr. Carey too, but what are your thoughts on the idea that these vaccines are just chock full of this graphene oxide?
Well, graphene oxide, the way I interpret it, is just one of the core components with this whole hybrid nanotechnology, that they're using. They have their little mRNA synthetic snippet that they shoot in the cell via embedded in some lipid fats and then coated with a type of toxic sealant, for lack of a better term. And part of what's in that whole mechanism is this graphene oxide. And it's just all part of their bigger plan, which is to this transhuman nanotech thing. So that's stunning that it's coming out. And again, why would anyone in their right mind believe this bullshit and accept that deadly injection?
Wow. As you understand it though, what do you think that does to the human body? What's your understanding of what that would actually do? Because the lady, there's this one clip that's kind of gone viral. This doctor talking about it, is saying that really the only reason to put that into a human body would be to make people sick and try to kill them.
Well, it's just their latest version of an adjuvant, which is an irritant, right? Their delusion, the whole quackery of vaccination, is that they're going to put thimerosal in the human body, which is toxic, deadly mercury. They're going to put aluminum, which is toxic, deadly, but it's in such micro doses. It just agitates the immune function so that that wakes up the immune function and causes the body to build up an antibody response to the antigen. But that is just complete unproven quackery. It doesn't work. The way you do that is through energetics like homeopathy or acupuncture or other natural things. Or, for example, the only inoculation that's ever worked, as far as I'm aware of, is several thousand years ago, the oriental medicine doctors of the day, when they were confronted with smallpox or other type of pox, they would take the pustule from a patient and several of them grind it up into a powder with several type of of healing herbs and antimicrobial herbs, and then they blow it into the nostril of the children in the village, and that would stimulate the immune function. That's the only type of inoculant that will ever work. Is number one, you have the same regional genetics, you have the same regional diet, you have the same regional response to the weather. Everything is community based in health. This whole idea of these transnational corporations that they can do a one death jab fits all is absurd. They're, you know, people's lives in China are in no way similar to what I live here outside the District of Criminals, or what you live in Ecuador, or what our friend Sean Surplus lives in Australia. And it's criminal. Everything, you know, you should deal with your diet regionally. You should deal with your health regionally. It's just insane and so sad.
Yeah, that's true. There's never been a thing in medical history that I know of where the same so-called treatment was advocated for every person on the planet. And, you know, another pattern I'm seeing here is every country that where the people refuse to go along with this jab, there's an outbreak of the Delta variant suddenly, and they're blaming, you know, the fact that people aren't vaccinated on this Delta variant spreading. You know, I just heard this morning that in Japan, they just said no audience is allowed for the Olympics, which has got to be a real bummer for all the athletes to have absolutely nobody watching you. But apparently the Japanese don't want to take the shot. They're at like a 1% vaccination rate right now.
Well, if you recall 2 weeks ago when the brilliant and heroic Dr. Judy Mikovits was on, she pointed out that this whole plan with the graphene, with all the other toxic things, it's all a transhumanist plan. It's all a depopulation agenda. And it's more insidious now with the graphene and the synthetic mRNA is that it's not just an adjuvant. It's just not just an inoculant. It's part of a bigger plan to, as that subhuman deviant Tal Dash or whatever that Israeli is, who's the chief Mengele for Moderna. The dude looks like he's a failed genetic experiment. If you look at that guy with his bizarre ears and his happy merchant nose and all that, and he just you see the look in his eye. He's just a stone cold evil psychopathic killer, and he's the one who first started the quote, we're rewriting the operating system, and the name of the company Moderna is actually mod RNA for modify RNA and DNA. So it's
right. And that company has never made a vaccine in its history. All they've done is make chemotherapy drugs, apparently.
Right. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, speaking of insane quacks, this clown, this Turkish South Korean Perla and his wife, you know that they are actually, he's a veterinarian, and so he just decided that he understood human physiology so well that he's going to move over. And the if we actually had an independent media, they'd be all over the fact that Perla tried pulling this genetic modification in England about 10 years ago on the cattle, on livestock, and it was killing it and sickening all the cattle. They began bleeding from their nose. So the British government, to its credit, pulled the plug on the whole thing. And what has happened? I keep asking guests, what happened? And I'll ask you, what happened in 10 years? You know, in 2009, they tried this, the world, the sky is falling, we need a vaccine. And even 60 Minutes jumped in and was asking some muckety muck from the CDC or from, why are you doing this? And here's what the problems are. And they had to pull the plug then. But yet in a decade, all of a sudden, we have this compliant, obedient. Instead, we once had millions upon millions of buffalo and bison, and now we have millions upon millions of obedient, compliant sheeple. What the hell happened in 10 years?
Well, I think the most likely explanation, Giuseppe, is consolidation of the media. They've got the media under the belt of, they say, six companies, but it's really just one company that with interlocking ownership that runs the entire industrial media complex. And that's why we've seen this absolutely unified message around the globe. It's really amazing. You know, the same bullshit is broadcast here in Ecuador. It's like they just cut and paste and translated it into Spanish. And just for example, you know, the Joe Biden is saying that, you know, they're going to send people door to door to, you know, check to see if people have been vaccinated. And then literally like 2 days after that, the president down here says the same thing. Hey, we're going to send people door to door to, you know, to check if you've been vaccinated, because this is so important. You know, this is the most important thing we've ever done in the history of mankind. So I, going back to your question, I just think, you know, 10 years ago, they ran a beta test and there was too many flaws in the control. And so they spent the last 10 years patching up all those holes, getting the wrong people out of those positions and replacing them with yes men. That's my best guess. What would your theory be on that,
sir? Oh, yeah. Speaking of yes men, did you see this picture? Let me bring it up. That's exactly right. I think you have it nailed on the head. Where is it? Biden kneeled before the Israeli president.
Did you see?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Let's see.
Oh, my God.
I have that one. Oh, here it is. Here, let's do this one first, and then I'll do a close-up of the next one. Yeah, this is unbelievable. Okay, so here, let me bring this up. There is Joe Biden literally kneels before Israeli president in a bizarre and humiliating display, pledges unconditional support for Israel. And then I have a close-up of that.
Well, he should have went ahead and filleted him too. Why not? I mean, let's get let's show how, let's test your loyalty here, Joe. Come on.
And then here is let's see, can I, and then here is the close-up. Look at that. Unreal. I mean, I know, that what's his name, the psychopath, Benjamin Netanyahu, he and his wife used to bring their dirty laundry to the White House every time they visited, because they loved the idea that the American government would be their slaves. And I know that's true. That's been revealed by many of the White House staff over years and years. And it's really something that Biden, I mean, he's so, it's just, you know, we've been saying it since when we were with Jim Fetzer before we got kicked off of YouTube, where we would do those live coverage of the presidential debates. And it was just so obvious coming that Biden was being installed as the third world shithole leader by the globalists. And it's all happened. And it's just, what the hell's wrong with this country?
Well, if you look at it from a certain perspective, Joe Biden is really the perfect president. He's a feeble old man. He's senile. He's corrupt and he does what he's told. So from that point of view, he's an excellent choice. And, you know, I think that was one of the problems, you know, with whatever Trump was or wasn't. I don't think that he was used to just, you know, slavishly following orders at every turn. And he also had the bad habit of opening up his mouth and saying things he probably shouldn't have said. Whereas Joe Biden is totally domesticated. He's been on the dole for what, going on 50 years, runs a corrupt mafia family essentially. And,
right.
You know, in some ways, it's also very apropos. It's very symbolic of what America has become, just like this old zombie walking around, you know, filleting the president of Israel and doing his laundry for him and
yeah,
whatever else. So it's just it's a sad state of affairs, but I do think it's quite symbolic.
Yeah. How about the the compression of time when it's applied to the lifespan of an empire. I mean, it used to be an empire would run, you know, a couple hundred years at least. And now the American empire is essentially, I don't know, barely going to make 100 years, and it's in its death throes now. So it's pretty amazing.
Well, it's been eaten away by termites from within, essentially, I believe.
Yeah, cancer. And, right.
It seems
cancer.
Like the happy merchants, the international Jew has sort of already decided to jump ship and work with China, because China has the more efficient system, and they don't have to pretend like they have a democracy like they do here. You know, if you cause too many troubles, you just disappear, or you get two in the back of the head, man, and that's the end of the story.
Well, China has always been the puppets of the happy merchants. I mean, when Mao Zedong went to which one did he go to? Yale or Princeton? No, not
Yale.
Yale. And these were his handlers there. You know, some fine South Koreans: Israel Epstein, Saul Adler, Frank Ko. I mean, talk about non-human types there with good old Mao. And did you see where what the heck was his name? The guy who is the alleged pedophile, and he runs, he's in the Midwest, and he, God, why can't I think of his name? The guy who, Warren Buffett, that's who it is. And Warren Buffett's buddy, they were on a panel somewhere a week or two ago, and his buddy, his peer, older guy, said, oh yeah, you know, nothing but admiration for the Chinese system of how they handle their population, and China should be the model for the world. So these parasitic, degenerate, inveterate gamblers, that's all that Wall Street is it's a rigged gambling casino. There's, you know, back even 30 years ago, 40 years ago, there used to be, you know, accounting firms like the Big Eight, like Arthur Andersen and blah, blah, blah. And they were independent auditors, and Wall Street, because it was still regulated by somewhat ethical government, federal government, you couldn't value a company like Sears or IBM, were the blue chippers, 16 times greater than its complete material wealth. That was it, right? And so now it's turned into Tel Aviv East. And all it is just this insane gambling casino where, you know, it's rigged, and all you have to do is follow the lead of these adrenochrome swilling deviants, and you bet with them and you're going to make money. I mean, this country's economy is in a shambles. And yet last week, the so-called big line of Wall Street, the Dow Jones 500, was at its highest level ever. I mean, it absolutely makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. And even people who know the market fundamentals are perplexed, because they can't accept the fact that it's just simply a rigged game. And really what's going on is just funneling all the money upwards into fewer and fewer hands. And you got BlackRock and Vanguard and some other mega kosher organizations that are funneling the money up to their friends and family. And, you know, I'm sure you caught the article of Sun Valley, Idaho, the billionaires who went to this big meeting. And if you look at the names of these people, man, it's like 90% of them are Jewish, man. I mean, what do you do with that? You know, I mean, it's right in your face now, man.
Oh, they used to skulk in the shadows, and hey, thanks, dude guy. Last week, Scorpio, you couldn't make it, but there was the first ever best and brightest Perfect Triangle Rev Radio host roundtable, and with Mr. Rowe and Dude Guy and the Mechanic and John Wayne. It was just awesome. And Dude Guy popped in the Revolution Radio chat. That guy, I was trying to think of his name, Buffett's buddy, Charlie Munger. Yeah, thanks, Dude Guy.
Right.
That's exactly right. What a low life. I mean, the weird thing is, you know, anyone who's had a puppy knows that if you get them young and you can train them, they will become conditioned for life. So we have this our youngest Siberian Husky is just, her father was literally the champion Husky of the world for 2014 and 2015. He was the considered the number one Husky worldwide from this breeder that we stumbled onto. And because we've bought several Huskies from her, she gave us her best. She gave us the top shelf, no rail Huskies. We got top shelf Huskies. And so we got her at 8 weeks. And so she got so used to us propping her up to get on the bed or get on, you know, outside, we have a perch where they can jump up and watch, that even though she's the finest athletic specimen we've ever had, she waits for us to lift her up as an adult, because that's how she learned it as a child, right? And that is essentially what's going on with the nonstop gaslighting of the media, of schools, of your religious choice. It's all feeding you the same indoctrination from such a young age that you believe it all. And there's literally people who think, oh man, Wall Street, it's so ethical. I mean, it's the, you know, this is a free market capitalism. There's nothing free market about this. This is such a rigged stage game. It's unbelievable. And if you're smart enough to bet with the house, clearly you're gonna increase your winnings, because the house somehow wants to keep luring in this international money to their casino, right? There's could be other casinos, like China could have an awesome casino, but China won't allow foreign investors and ownership over, I think, 5% of a lot of their key entities. So, yeah, it's just bizarre to me.
Yeah, it is bizarre, and it's so in your face now. It's you know, and I don't know if you've caught this thing with Vanguard. You know, this what's the CEO's name? I think his name is Fink or something like that.
Oh, Larry Fink is BlackRock. Vanguard.
Oh, yeah, BlackRock. Yeah, BlackRock. Fink. You know, he wrote a letter to CEOs of all the major corporations around the world, talking about this EGS score, environmental, government, and social score, where in order for these corporations to get investments from companies like BlackRock and Vanguard, they're going to have a certain EGS score, which means they have to go along with environmental, the social, and the governmental standards, or they're not going to get funding. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I did. It's unbelievable. And, you know, you're one of the first publicly to state way back when we started working together on your show that the only sane solution is you have to disengage from this transhuman, transnational enslavement. And that's just it. If you got a business idea, you know, crowdfund it, and don't try to become huge until, if you hit a home run and you create the next great widget, fund yourself and don't let them become involved in it in any way, and don't ever go public. But that is a rare person who doesn't want to get in that club with the IPO, and then you're suddenly wealthy for life. And that's another lie about the Wall Street kosher casino, is that, investors fund the company. No, they don't. The only time the company ever gets the money is during the initial public offering. And the whole scam now is the IPO comes out at 12 or 14 and it's immediately driven up to 50 or 60, but the company only gets the money of that opening day, and everything else fills the pockets of the malignant parasites. It's such a scam every which way you look at it.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, all the money's being funneled upwards into friends and family of these people. Let's call them that anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at the guest list at this Sun Valley conference, man, it's really unbelievable. It's like just about everyone there is Jewish. And we're supposed to believe that we have this diverse system and there's all these different people that own the system. And, you know, we have competing capitalism. All the companies are competing. Doesn't look like it to me. It looks like one big happy family at the top, and they're working on consolidating that further with this EGS score. You have to comply both by the people who you hire and then your behavior. There's going to be one standard of behavior, or else you're out of the club, baby.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to me, that's the whole slave training coming from the synagogue of Satan. They are such an amazing, strong, virulent form of cancer. They've entered and taken over the Vatican. I mean, you look at that buffoon who's been installed as the murderous bishop from Argentina. Whatever his name is, I can't even think, Francis. And you look at all the entities that used to be able to cock block the synagogue of Satan, and all of them have been usurped, and like the cancer that they are, rotting and taken over from the inside.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really something. I mean, therefore, the only sane path for anyone is to as above, so below, choose the micro. You have to alter your life in the personal level and somehow find peace and unite with similar people. And somehow, one of my friends who got heartbroken by the music industry, such a great songwriter, his band was called Echo Tour, ECOTEUR. And he had this great song, and one of the lines was, you got to learn to bend like a reed in the wind. And that's really what you have to do. You know, I mean, they could kick our door down and mow us down at any point, but if you can avoid becoming in their crosshairs and become very clever and flexible and bend like a reed in the wind to this onslaught, you can possibly survive. And you know, the synagogue of Satan historically overreaches, and it seems to me that this is a huge overreach. And at some point, when more of these people start dying, that was one of my questions for Dr. Carey. Is she came out long ago, as did Dr. Judy Mikovits, and said that at least half of this this rollout of this injection is placebo saline solution. And I totally agree with that. Otherwise, we'd have death numbers just shocking. Yeah. All right, Dr. Carey Medej could not make it, so hour two will open up to calls and chit-chat. See you for hour two.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's The Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back to hour two of Perfect Triangle. Unfortunately, according to her associate, Danielle, Dr. Carey had an appointment before this scheduled interview, and she's thus far unreachable. I mean, she'll no doubt reschedule, so we'll reschedule her sometime in August or September. And as such, we're going to open up the phone lines. 703-873-7797. 703-873-7797. The third time's a charm. 703-873-7797. Call in to talk about any of the madness that's going on. And in the meantime, please go to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio and donate, because this is free speech radio. There's no big pharma or any corporate sponsorship. So people like Scorpio and I and the mechanic and dude guy and everybody else can say what we want. But you have to pay for it. So please go and donate. So Scorpio, we'll see who calls in. And until then, how's your move going? You're getting ready to come back here.
Yes, I am. It's all hell is breaking loose, man. It's just been a whirlwind. And, you know, I was telling you, I think I've got the property sold. And it.
Hello? Hello?
You guys here?
Stand by, callers.
All right, thank you. I don't know what I'm
saying about. He was gonna let nature and the breeze. What's that Leonard Skinner song? They call me the breeze or something. That's hilarious. Oh, man, that's classic. That's awesome. That's really funny. Well, Scorpio, we've got three. Yeah. Oh, wow, that's awesome. That's such an amazing. I always wanted to be an expat, but life never allowed that. But I can't wait to hear a lot of those stories once you're back in the States and hanging out. But we've got three callers, Scorpio. So the first caller from area code 720. Please tell us your name and where you're from and what would you like to chit-chat about today.
Hey, it's Sal in Colorado. How are you all doing?
Good, Sal. Can you hear Sal, Scorpio?
Yes, I can. Okay. Go ahead, sir.
Go ahead, Sal. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm looking forward to the time that you get Dr. Carrie Made on the show.
It's pronounced Madej. She pronounces it Madej, everyone, because it looks French, but she pronounces it Madej.
I thought it was.
Well, I don't know how.
No, Madej. Madej.
Okay, thank you. So, I can't stop thinking about the event last Wednesday with Reba Sherrill. That was just great. That was just a great show you all laid out with Jim.
I need to call, text her and reschedule with her because she's an amazing, heroic woman and really inspirational. So, yeah.
The show's on for 2 hours a night from,
seven to nine. She just started her show now. Yeah.
Right. Well, what I was thinking is that you guys could do a simulcast for the hour that you're both on at the same time one of these days. I think that would be really cool to have it
both. That's a great idea. Red State Madej. She pronounces it Madej. I've talked to her in person, so. Yeah, sorry, Saul, I was just responding to the chat. Yeah, that would be fantastic. I was really impressed with her. She really gets it. And the idea that she's her own strong spiritual belief and her force of will has allowed her to overcome some tremendous health challenges and she's got such a deep spiritual belief that drives her. Yeah, she's I would love to do that. In fact, I will email her and text her and see if we can set that up in the days ahead.
Oh yeah, that would really be great. And if any of you are in Florida, she's running for Senate against Marco Rubio. So go to votereva.com to see all the great things that she has for her plans if she becomes part of the Senate. They'll probably not even let her get close, but, we've proven more than once that we can overthrow what they think by going. My funny idea was to start saying, Marco Rubio for president 2024, just to, kind of mess everything up enough so that everybody be hoping for Marco Rubio, that's really stupid, and the people that are paying attention vote for Reba. Makes things easy.
Yeah. Let's face it, she doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of beating Marco Rubio, but what she should do is the Floridians should do a writing campaign for her, because that's something that cannot be controlled. Don't you think, Scorpio?
Oh, yeah. It's an interesting idea there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Little Marco, I think that's what Trump called him, Little Marco.
Do you know his background? That he was he's a closeted homosexual and he's a cross-dresser, and he used go to the gay discos for free coke, and he would fillet the wealthy drug dealers, and he's just a completely admirable character every which way.
Oh yeah, he knows how to get ahead or give some head.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that guy in Chicago that tried selling an Obama seat he's married, but, I think he likes men more than women.
Oh, Rahm Emanuel or?
Rahm Emanuel, that's it.
Yeah. Okay, well, Saul, stand in line if you'd like. Our next caller is from area code 425. Tell us where you're calling from and your name, and what would you like to chit-chat about?
Hi, my name is Russell. I'm calling from just north of Seattle, Washington.
How's life up there, Russell? Is it still super hot up there?
Oh, no, we got through that. It's been very pleasant.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Last few days. Hey, but anyway, I had an observation, and you mentioned maybe Judy Markovich theorized that half the people were getting a placebo.
Right. So did Dr. Carrie Mendez. She said the same thing. Yeah.
Okay. Well, with that being said, there's been people, with the magnets sticking to them.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
Well, I guess they've been working on a technology to use magnetism to get to the cells quicker, to increase the half-life, the half-life of the injection is what, whatever it is, but it gets to the cells quicker. But anyway, I'm thinking that they won't admit they're using that technology because then people stick magnets to themselves and they'll be able to tell who got the placebo and who got the real injection. So
that's a very interesting point. Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen, but there's individuals also using a black light on the injection site and watching the luciferase that they claim wasn't in it, and it's traveling down the fellow's arm and coagulating at various areas of his hand. I bet if he were to take off his shirt, he'd probably see it near his heart. My God, why anybody would take that death jab? It's beyond me. But
with that being said, I saw an article maybe a year ago. There was somewhere around London. I can't remember where it was, but there was the first shop opened up that was using the map of your veins in your finger as an identifier for making transactions.
No kidding. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in Wisconsin, and I know last year there was a software development company in Madison, Wisconsin, which is the one high tech area for those kind of businesses in the state. And they were insisting that everyone in the company receive the mark of the beast injection so that you could open the door with it and all this and that. So yeah, it's, there's no shortage of compliance and obedience of the globalist sheeple. And so it's all coming, man. Everything you see now that you shake your head that you can't believe someone would be that stupid, it's coming, don't you think, Scorpio?
Oh yeah, and I saw that clip too. And you can wave your hand in front of the snack machine and get snacks out of the snack machine. I mean, it could be better than that. Come on.
Yeah. Well, with Giuseppe saying that he could see it going into his fingers or whatnot, well, there you go. You know.
Yeah, unbelievable. Well, stay on the line, sir. We'll take our next caller, who is, I know that area code 360. It's got to be Brian or Jenna.
It's Brian. Hey,
Brian, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, thanks. Your last caller, Russell, hell, he's spitting distance from me. I'd love to have him contact me. I'm going to give my email address, idyupdate@yahoo.com. idupdate@yahoo.com. Hey, someone brought up Reba. She's running for Senate seat in Florida. You had her on a few weeks ago, and I appreciate you putting her in touch with me. We did have a couple decent conversations, but I think it's a common problem of what I'm alerting people to is a communitarian difficulty, and I hear this quite a bit from people. You know, Brian, with the information you've presented, I think I've got some bad news for you. I'm a communitarian, and this is the perfect solution. So it will have no detractors. Nikki does raise her hand and say, well, I'm one. So, yeah, I want to say that in 2020, and Numericans in the Twitch chat, he could probably link to this article, We, Us, and Our, the History and Philosophy of Communitarianism. The philosophy of communitarianism originated in the 20th century, but the term communitarian was coined in 1841. So Chris Weinert and you gentlemen split the sheets, but
Hold on, Brian. Somebody's making a lot of noise. Can you mute your phone if you're not talking? That's not you, is it, Brian?
I'm totally motionless.
I'm going to get rid of these other callers. Well, looks like they fixed it, okay. Well, you know, it's funny, Brian, you bring up an excellent point that, no, it's still going on. Jeez, I'm just going to have to. Did that fix it? I think so. Was it Eric? I can't have that. That's crazy. I got rid of a caller, and they don't. Callers, if you call in, as soon as I answer, mute your phone. And then when I ask you, you'll hear your name. And then unmute. I mean, that's just please mute when you're not speaking. So, you know, Brian, man, I've been giving that a lot of thought. And that's what's so insidious about the Synagogue of Satan is that communitarianism I'm not going to let that person back because they were rude. The communitarianism would be ideal if Brian and Jenna and Scorpio and Giuseppe were running it. But the fact is that the Rothschilds and the communists are running it. And so if you cannot make that distinction, that is really horrific and tragic, don't you think?
Well, yeah, I think that's really well stated. And thanks for taking my viewpoint on this. I have one more little ditty, and it is extremely important to especially someone living in the European Union, because, you know, even in the United States, I'm told by pretty big wig broadcasters that are on our side that, you know, communitarianism is just a philosophy. It doesn't amount to anything other than that. Well, this is Nikki's response to the before mentioned article. It's pretty brief. This article is misleading and missing key information about the ideology. Wikipedia editors removed all references to communitarian law in the EU and China. Currently, the ideology is firmly embedded in the Great Reset, according to Klaus Schwab. COVID pandemic mandates and non-vaccination restrictions on employees and customers. The ideology is responsible for the concept of community policing and other enforcement agency balancing guaranteed constitutional protections of individual rights against the common good. So there's only one comment, and Nikki did it. Yeah, this, I'm sorry your guys' guest on the pandemic didn't come through, but at the same time, you know, we're kind of relieved because this pandemic is kind of a distraction that I was worried was going to come. And, you know, I thought, well, it's the Great Reset. No, I think it's the COVID is really keeping us pretty tied up with trying to, you know, expose all of the blatant threats to our existence. But, yeah, hopefully Numerican will put this in the Twitch chat.
Yeah, I mean, Scorpio, what do you think of the insidious rebranding of the Zionist, communist, globalist takeover and had all the feels people, they feel so much and they care so much about everybody. And that's going to kumbaya the world to this new level of function. And the laughable reality is that they are going to have their comfortable level of existence destroyed, and they're willingly going along with it.
Well, you know, I think it's all interrelated personally. You know, this entire so-called pandemic has been a giant exercise in communitarianism on several fronts, because one, it's just an exercise in slave training. And if you want to me, if you boil it down, the communitarianism idea is essentially just a way to condition people to think like slaves and to act like slaves. And we're all one, we're all equal. Where we go one, we go all, you know, sort of thinking. And then of course, my mask protects you and your mask protects me. And I don't take the vaccine for me, I take it for you. You know, this is the kind of thinking. All of a sudden now we're responsible for each other's health. We're responsible for each other's well-being. And really, we're all the same. We're all equal. We're all one. And this is the kind of slave-like mentality. They want to have the great Goyim cattle, the herd of Goyim cattle, to behave like. And so personally, I think it's all interrelated.
I think you're exactly right. And that the insidious nature of the communitarian mind rape is you've got all these idiots. Oh, I don't wear my mask for me, bro. I wear it for you. And I didn't take the death jab for me, bro. I took it for you. And oh my God, that healthy, unvaccinated person, he's a threat to us all. I mean, that's the level of stupidity when you believe a quackery, pseudo-religious quackery that is vaccination, that is immunology, and you believe it as science. It's as much science as is the Catholic Church's science. It's religion, and they require that you believe what they tell you, and then all of a sudden becomes science. When every true scientific tidbit of knowledge proves that there's not one vaccination that is safe, not one vaccination that's effective, that you can always do better. Unvaccinated populations, the Amish, the Orthodox Jew, the Japanese, they're all healthier. Their children grow up not sick. Their children are smarter. It's just unbelievable. But yet I wear a mask for you, bro, not for me. I mean, if I was a younger man, I would be punching people in the mouth for saying stuff like that. But nah, I've mellowed. But they deserve, younger men, punch them in the mouth when they say that.
Well, now you'll give them a philosophical punch in the mouth, perhaps.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, it's just amazing the level of stupidity that this whole COVID hoax has really revealed.
Right.
Just the level of servitude that the average human being is willing to live under. Once you put them under enough fear and tell them they're going to die if they don't take this shot. And if you think about it too, it really is an affront against God and creation to believe that we cannot exist without a experimental medical injection every 6 months. This is an affront against God and against the creation.
Well said. All right. Let's see. Sorry. It's been a long week. 720, I forgot your name. Oh, no, I know. It's Saul. Hey, anything else you'd like to say, Saul?
Yes. I'm legally blind, and the only reason I bring this up is because I figure I'm one notch above people who are retarded as far as their health condition is concerned, where they're really going to try and stick it to me, and I mean that as far as this injection. I got a letter from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment from some dumb idiot doctor saying, "Well, you haven't got your shot yet. It's safe. You can register for, you know, the $1 million draw, all this other junk." And I was wondering, if one of you guys got a letter like this, would you do anything about it or just forget about it?
I'm sorry, say that again. What letter did you get?
I got a letter from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. it's a form letter that says, gee, Bo, it looks like you haven't got your death shot yet. Don't you want a donut for free? You know, and all this other stuff. So
yeah. Oh, I mean, they're
good. So what would you guys do about it if you received a letter like this? Would you just forget about it, or would you respond to it?
So what would you do, Scorpio?
I would say, dear sir, please kindly F off, and you worry about yourself, and I'll worry about my life. Thank you very much.
Our good friend who's going to be on Scorpio's show tomorrow, Russ Winter of winterwatch.net, one of the first times he ever came on last year, he mentioned that where he is in Eastern Europe, there's a lot of nuts, and he just has taken this philosophy, which he described as the gray man philosophy, that he just goes about his business and fits in and doesn't attract attention to himself, and that's how he can continue to do what he does. And I would say, take the gray man philosophy and ignore it. I mean, what do you have to gain from replying to them and suddenly you've singled yourself out? I mean, it, like you said, it's just a form letter. And...
yeah, go that's ahead. A good point. If
you want $1 million.
That's all I got to say.
<they'll take it. laughs>
Yeah, for real.
And a free McDonald's meal too.
And a happy meal. Yeah.
Yeah, I want a happy meal.
Oh, wow. With potatoes from Bill Gates' farm over at McDonald's, which is going to be just as good as any of the other stuff there. But they say if you eat McDonald's 10 times, they don't even embalm you when you die. I don't know. They may not say that, but it probably does.
Yeah, it's convenient, and it's sort of, a good way to run things. You know, being very efficient, let's say.
Hey, we've got a new caller coming in, Chicago Brew. I know him. He's one of our hosts, and he's an intrepid investigator. How are you doing today, Brew? What would you like to discuss?
The Brewster.
He should be there.
Big Brew, come on, baby.
Oh, I answered, and he's not. Let me call him.
Give us the news from Chi-Town, baby. Come on.
There he is, Chicago Brew. How are you?
Yeah, just gave you a second to call me back instead of disrupting everything. So it's not finished? I'm not sure.
Go ahead. Yeah, he dropped off. You're good. It's your time to shine, brother.
Okay. Yeah, the gray man approach. Yeah, he can ignore that letter because, you know, they're out there fishing, and, you know, hopefully they can poke and prod and say, oh my gosh, they know exactly what I'm doing. I better give in or whatever. But the whole gray man thing, he's best off to ignore it, because right now we do know that they're already hired and organizing the Karens and their official strike teams or whatever. They're going to do their door-to-door campaigns and canvas neighborhoods like their Jehovah Witnesses or, you know, the solar panel guy. So he all he needs to do is sit back. They'll approach him face-to-face at some point. That's when he really needs to have his spiel up to date, something that can deter them with shooting him in the process. Because, you know, when they show up at your door, you know, people will be like, get out of here, I'm not taking that vaccine. You know, they'll get you. These people are so sneaky. They'll get you and be like, oh, you're so hostile, we got to take you in the They could do anything. They got so many tricks up their sleeves.
Oh, yeah.
They show up. They could be like, oh, we saw activity in the house. Oh, this person was acting crazy. We're going to file 50-50 on them. Because, you know, some stranger can file a 50-50 on somebody in certain states in this country. So there's all sorts of things they can do. So your best approach of action is cool, calm, and collect, and be prepared what you're going to say when that day does come. And, you know, if you have any foreknowledge, don't answer your darn door.
So, Brew, I know you're not in the city anymore, and I grew up just 90 miles to the north in Milwaukee, been to Chicago hundreds of times. And so, as you know, and I can attest as well, that it's very, very much a neighborhood city. You know, there's certain neighborhoods, and you can go 20 miles. It's like you're in a different city. But right now, last week, July 4th to July 10th in Chicago, shot and killed 7, shot and wounded 59, total shot 66, total homicides 8, which means somebody got knifed, year to date, shot and killed, and that's only 7 months into the, excuse me, the year, 355 shot and killed, 1,727 shot and wounded, total shot, 2,082, but how can you be shot and not be wounded? I don't get that. And then total homicides, 378 in 7 months. But, you know, Mayor Lori Lightfoot, she's just doing a damn good job, wouldn't you say?
Well, she's overseeing the killing fields, if as much of that is true. We don't know what's true. We know the mainstream media lies to us every day. We know they're happy to tell us something of horrific story, but not when it's negative on them. And those are stories that are totally negative on them. Why would they be telling us all this? Because it reflects badly on them. So how much of it is actually true? We have to question these things. We want to jump on it and say, oh, look, see how bad they are. But I mean, do we actually have, you know, identifiable records? Do we really know this is fact or just what the newspaper and the news is telling us? We really don't know because they lie. Everything that comes out of their mouth is a lie.
Yeah. You know, Brew, that's a great point. We always, first of all, we shouldn't react to anything we hear from the mainstream media. And you're absolutely correct. We really cannot believe a single word they tell us. I mean, you can't even believe what the weather forecast is unless you stick your head out the window and check it for yourself. It's really that bad.
Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of this is like when they have deaths. What was it? I was told when they put somebody in the ambulance. Let's see. They would get somebody in the ambulance before they died on the street, even though they were shot and killed on the street. They'd get them in the ambulance to the hospital so it would make it look like a hospital death instead of a homicide. I mean, these people got all sorts of tricks, you know. I mean, those numbers they tell you now, they could be higher because of that one little trick right there. You know, if someone's shot in the street and they're dead or dying or whatever, it's if they get them to the hospital and they die en route or at the hospital itself, it becomes a hospital death. And they can put anything on a piece of paper. But if the actual person's dead on the street, then it's a homicide. So they got all sorts of tricks and so on. So that number, it could be even worse. It could be 300.
Oh, Brew, it's much worse. And a lot of the tricks, and I know this was being done when I used to be right for the Milwaukee Sentinel in the 80s. I was low man on the totem pole, which means I had to go sit at the police desk overnight. And, I you know, when detectives are bored, they'll come and chit chat with them when I hear about what it's like to be, you know, writing for a newspaper and blah, blah, blah. And you get to be their buddy. And, you know, I used to, I learned early on, bring them treats and they'll tell you all kinds of stuff. And I used to bring them, you know, back then, as in Chicago, there are all kinds of really good bakeries. I'd go and buy fresh donuts and then bring, you know, they'd still be fresh when I brought them to the late night shift. And they would tell me stories about how they would cover up because they did not want to deal with the hassle. They knew they could never get witnesses to go to court. They knew it was a waste of time. So they were telling me it was more like, and this is in the 1980s, probably one third of actual homicides and murders never see the light of day. And it's just, you know, a lot of those people never even, they end up in, you know, buried somewhere. They're never even known that they died. So I got to believe that's still the case.
Well, that story I just recited was only 2 years ago when somebody told me because they knew a paramedic and whatever, and that's pretty much what they told me. So we're coinciding on that. So yeah, it's been going on a very long time.
Yeah, very long time. So what's your take, Brew, on, the self-righteous vaccine recipients, I'm sure you know some people who have taken the jab. Has anybody gotten sick? Has anybody died yet that you know?
Well, my mother and brother did it together, and I have no idea. My mother actually has lupus, so for a long while, she doesn't get it anymore. She used to get HCQ, but she hasn't taken it for some time. But during this whole time, if you went from all the way from January when they started bringing it to the United States, even though it started in China, September 2019, they really didn't bring it to the forefront until late December, early January, where they started giving us hints of what this might be. But don't worry about it. It'll never come to America. Anybody has lasted all this time, 12 months, 16 months, now 18 months and change. You're invincible. Why do you need to go run out? You've survived. You're like supermen and women. You're more, you know, you beat it. Why are you running out now to go get a jab?
That's an excellent point. And to underscore your point, the human body is remarkably resilient. You know, the divine created us to survive a lot of things because life is tough on this planet to survive. And it's amazing over the decades, the people I've seen, they survived cancer, they survived, you know, everything. And you think they're going to be dead in 3 months and they live for 10 years kind of thing. And so that's what happened to people, which I'll ask Scorpio and you, what happened to the ability to think and do a critical analysis, a cost benefit analysis as to why would I take that job when I don't feel bad? The likelihood at age, let's say 38, of me getting it and having dying from it is 99.997% of me surviving. And why in the world would you take that? So,
well, listen,
that's a good question, Seppi. And again, I think it just is a testament to the effectiveness of having a year-long fear campaign to sort of, you know, affect people's minds in a way that they can't think straight. Then you've got, you know, two generations of people being churned out by the public school system.
Yeah.
Intentionally sent through a program where they're not able to think. They're just conditioned to react. They're not able to use logic or to think. So it's a sad state of affairs in short, man.
Yep. I've come think that these people want attention. They're so bored with their lives. They feel so unimportant with all the, you know, Kardashians and all this other stuff that's going around them in the world. They feel so small in this big pond. They want the attention. I reflect on things where people actually feign illnesses. They get sympathy from others, friends, family. Now with social media, they'll be like, oh, pray for me. I'm sick with this, or my son or my daughter or this, or they'll even, you know, self-harm themselves to actually start creating symptoms, or they'll take their own child and make their own child sick or pretend their child's sick, like shave their head and say, oh, my child's got cancer. And sometimes they do this for money purposes, but other times they do this for attention. I think that's the culture we're living in. People just want to feel important. And if they go around and say, yeah, I got my free donut. Oh, yeah, I went to McDonald's and I had this whole campaign there and I got a Happy Meal and a Big Mac and a pat on the back. You know, I mean, they just want that. And I think, you know, they want to be part of a club because everyone's got to be part of a club. I think this is what they're doing. And you know, and we're getting to this point to where if you're not part of it, because that club is growing every day, either forcibly or the weak-minded finally give in at some point or say, oh, gee, I did want to go to that baseball game, but I couldn't. So I gave in because, well, might as well. Everyone else is doing it, right? We're here, you know, whatever. That's an
excellent point. Yeah, I mean,
people are getting ostracized and they're afraid of that too. Not just to feel important, but to feel like they're the outlier to be pointed at. And especially in this cancel culture, they can't have that. Good.
Giuseppe, you know, Spread Love is trying to call in from Revolution Radio. He says he can mute his phone now. And so if he wanted to know if he could try to call back.
Oh, okay. If it's somebody we know. Okay, sure. Tell him to call. Or I can call him. He was probably 614. And dude guy wants to come in, so let me get back to the call here.
Can I hit on that graphene thing real quick?
Yeah, go for it. Uh-huh.
So graphene oxide has been around for years. And in fact, the first time I ever heard about it was during the ballots last year when they were talking about how they could track the ballots and you know, how they could, maybe it was blockchain technology or whatever. Well, part of the thing came out that the ballots would have been printed with graphene ink or graphene markings on the paper or whatnot to tell if they're official ballots or not and to track wherever they went. Well, graphene is oxide is something that commercial industries, such as Starbucks, for example, have been putting into their coffee and possibly other products. So when someone goes to the store, a Starbucks or whatever, and orders a coffee, they they can track where that coffee go, where that person goes to, so they know actually where to build their next Starbucks, so where people are being located, because it's actually a tracking mechanism. And they're putting it in ink for paper, in books, on packaging, in food, in liquid, you know? That's what they've been doing it for years. Now, this adjuvant thing, you said, well, it could be an adjuvant for this jab they're doing. It's not an adjuvant. It's actually being put in there as a what was the term I used?
Well, it can be used in nanotechnology as well. So, hey, we're joined by Dude Guy as well. Dude Guy, welcome, man. You were great last week on the first ever Perfect Triangle Best and Brightest Roundtable. Look forward to having you back soon. How are you? And what would you like to chit-chat about today?
Oh, thanks, Dad. That was a lot of fun last week. And, you know, we had a great panel. We were able to share a lot of, I think, valuable information and have fun at the same time, which is, you know, it takes a lot of the stress off a lot of people to be able to let out that energy of trying to act against all this stuff in a positive way. So in that vein, I did want to mention something because I think she's one of the heroes of the, you know, freedom movement, awareness movement. That's Catherine Austin Fitz.
Oh, yeah.
And on her website, solari.com, I believe, yep, solari.com, she has created disclosure forms. So these are legally, you know, according forms. They are in the format that gives them a legal character that will, forces employers or schools to answer questions that are in their area of legal responsibility when they're making decisions. She's crafted these so that if you're asked or your children are asked to or tried to be forced to take a vaccine or some other policy like masks, testing, different things like that, you can modify the language to accommodate that. But these are specifically made for vaccines. She's got forms made where there's a series of questions that are asking for disclosure about in the consequences of what happens after. And so this one that I have at hand here is a form for employees who employers are requiring COVID-19 injections. And so she has a preamble describing the kind of the context of what's going on. And then she has a series of questions that your employer has to answer. And here's a few of them. These are things to bring up. If your employer tries to make you take a vaccine as a condition of employment, here's the questions she has on her form. One, if I agree to receive a COVID-19 injection, does my employee health insurance plan provide complete coverage should I experience an adverse event or even death? Two, as an employee, does my life insurance policy provide any coverage in the event I die from receiving a COVID-19 injection? Three, as an employee, will you be providing workers' compensation, disability insurance, or other resources if I have an adverse event due to the injection or an am unable to come to work for days, weeks, or months, or if I'm disabled for life? And then she's taken advantage of all the wording that's in the FDA requirements on vaccines. So she's put in the FDA requires that vaccine recipients be provided with certain vaccine-specific information to help them make informed decisions about vaccination. The fact sheets that must be provided are specific to each authorized injection and are developed by the manufacturers of the injections, and she lists them. The fact sheets must be provided the most current and up-to-date information on the injections, and vaccine recipients must also receive information about adverse events. Have you read, understood, and provided me and all other employees with these fact sheets and with current information on adverse events so that we can make an informed, educated decision? And so it's starting to put burden of responsibility on the employers for this decision. It's not just a decision that they can just go ahead and make off the cuff to relieve them of government pressure. The employees need to put the corresponding legal pressure on the employees, and you can do the same thing to school boards. These people are in positions of authority, and that authority comes with responsibility, legal responsibility.
That is an excellent, excellent point. I've been trying to get her on this show for a while. I got to try again. But hold, stay on the line, dude, love. We've got another fellow host, Spread Love. Spread Love, welcome to the show. What would you like to talk about today?
Yeah, good morning from the east coast of Australia. You hear me okay?
Yeah, sound good. Scorpio, can you hear him?
Yeah, I can hear him good. Go ahead, sir.
Apologies for earlier on, Giuseppe. I was fiddling around with my headset. I'm in the car.
Okay.
I couldn't get back to the screen to mute. So I just wanted to give you a little update of some of the things going on over here in Australia. It's a very similar system to, just to give you a bit of background, I'm an Ayurveda practitioner based in on the east coast of Australia in Byron Bay. I can see things for what they really are, a little deeper than the majority of the public. Just a couple of really interesting points. I've got a friend of mine who's possibly going to be on my show. I have a show on a Monday night here in Australia, which is, very early Monday morning, I believe. Yes, it is very early Monday morning on the East Coast in the US. The Free Humanities Show. She's going to be a guest on my show. She's an ex-lab technician, microbiologist, epidemiologist, who's also been a big truth activist. So she sent me something this morning. It's quite shocking. She said, this is from the, I'm in the state of New South Wales, and the next state up, which is a very big state, it's actually quite a bit bigger than New South, called Queensland. And she said, a friend of hers sent this to her directly. So she said, so last night I was admitted to the hospital. I happened to have a fever, which meant I was supposed to be admitted to the designated fever area in the hospital. The doctor on duty decided to admit me to another part of the hospital, stating that I didn't have the symptoms of COVID, and that made no sense to have me there, and therefore, and that the fever clinic was absolutely hammered. So, and he knew why, and he said it would be unprofessional for him to say why. Yes, he really did say that. So when he left the room, she turned and asked the nurse that was with him, with her, is that because it's full of people who are sick for any particular reasons? Is it COVID? And she said, no, it's the vaccine. She basically said that the hospital is currently overstretched due to vaccine reactions. So that's a telling picture of what we're not seeing over here.
Wow.
Are you getting that, guys? I'm very quiet. Yes, sorry. And on arrival, as she goes to add on, a young woman came up to the desk with a red rash all over her and clutching her throat, saying she just had the vaccination earlier that day and was now having trouble breathing and was immediately whisked off in a wheelchair. So, yeah, I mean, it's starting to happen now. I'm working in several different roles during the week. I have a few different roles for work. And I'm seeing a few people around me that I know have had both vaccines. And I can see, I mean, Giuseppe, I think you're a Chinese medicine practitioner, aren't you?
I am. And I'd like to interject that people may not understand that. My medicine and training is about 6,000 years old, but Ayurvedic medicine, which I have great respect for, is much older. Isn't it more like 12,000 years old or something?
Well, they say that, I mean, my teacher is Tibetan, and he was taught with a lineage of over 10 generations of Tibetan monks and stuff, and Indian family practitioners as well. He says it was only written down the last 5,000 years, and it's actually 40. I mean, he says a lot longer than this, but there's a lot of verbiage that it's 40,000 plus years old.
Wow.
And it does have the root. The Chinese medicine is openly admitted in the Yellow Emperor's book as it getting their influences from the Ayurvedic practitioners on the Silk Road, apparently. But I mean, look, what I'm getting at is with Ayurveda, we see six stages of disease, whereas Western allopathic medicine only sees two stages, and their stages are symptoms and complications. And if you've got the complications, it's normally too late to do much of, well, not too late, but it's a lot more work. Whereas in your practice and modality and mine, we see those signs a whole lot earlier. We see six stages of disease, meaning that we can see them in the eye. So I'm seeing people around me, and I can see that they're not well. I can see that their mind isn't the same. That's
exactly
the first thing that goes.
Yep.
and I can see the skin colour, I can see things in their eyes, and just general demeanour. But you can't say anything. It's pointless trying to say anything to anybody. Another interesting, just wanted to add, guys, I know you've got a lot of people online. I just wanted to say something else, if I can.
Oh, yeah, this is fantastic.
Yeah. Bear with me one second. Facebook, I noticed it. I reposted this morning. This is a direct quote. It says, if you buy things we think you don't need, for example, a new pair of shoes, we will arrest you. And that comes from the New South Wales Police Assistant Commissioner, Tony Cook. Oh, I don't know when he said that. And basically, we're seeing it over here. Like, we've had a really easy last few months, after the whole thing locked down in Victoria, where it was a police state, practically. You couldn't leave your house and you got questioned and everybody had to wear a mask. They were arresting people and people were getting off paying fines, but they're really going for it. And apparently I hear over here that they've got a new squad that I've noticed the last two or three years, and it's now, I'm now understanding why they were created. It's called the public order section of the police, and they dress jet black, very little regalia on their uniforms, and they have jet black police vehicles as well, with just a black and white check on them. They've also been mentions of one of the chief commissioners in New South Wales. This is the state I live in, New South Wales, which is where Sydney is and where Byron Bay is. They're saying that, we're going to send the police, we're sending an extra squad of 200 officers to a specific area to go after the people not being vaccinated. That was said in a newspaper. I haven't found the newspaper yet, but I'm looking for it as I speak online. But it's really stepping up here, because they've only got a 6.5% uptake of the vaccines in this country. And there is a very big groundswell of, which I'm very surprised at, because this is meant to be the nanny state of nanny states. There are a lot of very conditioned people here, because the quality of life here is so good. People just want it to all go back to normal. And, I feel for them, because even people close to me, It's. I can feel something's rolling towards us, and it's going to be very difficult to stop it.
Spread love. We barely scratched the surface. I'd like to have you on as a guest. I'll contact you via Skype. I didn't know the depth of your knowledge. It would be a great show. So we've got another call, though, the legendary Paul from California. I want to let him jump in the final few minutes. Paul, how are you, and what would you like to say?
Thanks. I just dutifully unmuted. Since I'm basically out of fresh material for a number of years now, I called in to comment on a couple of things that have been said. First, Brew made a really good point that I would like to underscore. This element of human conformity is really, really a strong part of this, and I find it, just like you, Giuseppe, I find it sad and perplexing. I had across the street neighbor tell me to my face, this is a grown man in his 50s, and we had conversations going back probably a year, and there was lots of head nodding, and he seemed to sincerely agree with me. Yeah, this thing's likely fake, and they're actually from England. He was in contact with people over there. Yeah, there's people over there. They're not really sick, or the hospital's there, the same thing. They're not empty. This man took the vaccine. Okay. And he literally said to me, I swear to God, these words, he goes, well, everybody's doing it. I just looked at him. I go, you're a moron. And I walked away. And I probably will not be on friendly terms with him ever again. And it's just one of those things where, we have to come to the conclusion. And I'm sorry, I think the guy named Dude Guy, you're making some great points. That's great stuff. Peggy Hall has great stuff on her website, thehealthyamerican.org. She puts out all kinds of videos. There's good stuff on the National Liberty Alliance, on the Constitutional Law Group, Passage to Liberty, all these sites. But what you're dealing with there is the rare individual that will, one, stand up for himself, and then, two, make a case on paper, right, that they have rights and they're not to be trampled upon. This is an unusual individual these days, I'm sorry to say. Yeah. And I'm just going to reemphasize something I've made on other shows, that I think first the weak are going to comply and then they're going to perish. And then that leaves the rest of us. And we have to fight. The die is cast. These people have demonstrated, not just for 50 or 100 or 200 years, but for how many, what, their reputation is 2,000 years or more, they have demonstrated they're not going to stop. And as long as they're alive, they're going to continue this. They're going to continue to take advantage of the gullible and use the gullible and compliant against the rest of us. And I completely concur with your sentiments, Giuseppe, at the beginning of the show about anger. And we all have been down that road, and it's not easy. I just would urge you to keep it on the shelf or keep it in your pocket, because it's probably going to come in handy. I'll finish with this. I just was looking through my notes of these various books I've either ordered or going to order. And here's the title. You're going to love this. The Ruling Elite, Death, Destruction, and Domination by Deanna Springola. I've not ordered that, but I think that title says it all. The Ruling Elite, Death, right. Destruction, and Domination. Who can argue that that is not what we're looking at? Thanks for hearing me.
Well, here's a book that I got from my brother from another mother, Maleficus Scott. His grandfather, Lieutenant Colonel J. Cree Scott, hid in government. Order this book. It is worth it. It is really great. And I want to thank everybody. I know Dr. Medej's associate still hasn't gotten a hold of her. Hopefully she wasn't kidnapped and is in Guantanamo. Hopefully she's okay. And I know from talking to her in the past that she'll come back soon. So we'll have her on. Scorpio, any final thoughts?
Spread Love could plug his show. When does it come on Revolution Radio on the call?
Oh, no, he dropped off. I don't know anybody in the chat. No, it's on Mondays. I think Spread Love's on Mondays, and Chicago Brew's here, and he's Wednesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. Scorpio, tomorrow you've got the great Russ Winter, and your show is 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern.
And I think an hour through we'll open up the phones and let the audience come in and see what they have to say and just have an open discussion and see where it goes.
And Dude Guy is on each night with the great Deacon and Hijacker right before this show and every other show, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate all the callers. Dr. Carey will be back, no doubt, probably August, September at the latest. I know she's very busy. And next week, we've got Jerry Day, who's very cool. So thanks again. Stay tuned for Dr. Kevin Barrett. Jihad. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course.